This is Happiness Solved with America's happiness coach, Sandy Scarlatta.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to today's episode. I am so happy you're here. So before I introduce today's guest, I want to share with you my five tips to stop abandoning your goals. Here we are, January 2022. It's always the time of year where a lot of people decide they're going to lose weight, get in shape, you know, and they set their New Year's resolutions. But did you know that studies show that by mid-February, 80% of people give up on those goals? That number is astounding. So I want to share these tips with you. And by the way, if you're listening to this later in the year, just know that you don't have to, you know, set your goals in January. You can set goals anytime during the year, and I encourage you to do so. So my first tip is to make sure that you have a detailed plan. I like to use the acronym SMART. So you want to make sure your goals are specific, measurable, achievable, realistic, and timely. That is so, so important. So make sure you have that detailed plan. Second is get an accountability partner, especially if you are somebody that needs to be held accountable. Most of us do. We're all human. It's okay if you need to be held accountable. Find somebody that you can trust and is going to call you out and be like, hey, you didn't check in with me today. What's going on? So make sure you get that accountability partner. Third is attach your emotions to the goal. This is so important because the way that you manifest anything into your reality is the feeling that you want, the feeling that it brings. So I encourage everyone, and again, you can do this anytime throughout the year, is write yourself a letter and write the letter to your future self and date it 1 year from today and write the letter to yourself stating all of the amazing things that you accomplished, but more importantly, how amazing it felt. That is the key. It's the feelings that help you to achieve your goals. The feelings is what brings things into reality for you. Fourth, there's many apps out there that will help you keep on track. I use Way of Life. There's about, at the time of this recording, there's probably about five, maybe more. So you can use an app that'll help you to stay on track, or just simply set an alarm on your phone to remind you to take action toward whatever that goal is you're trying to achieve. Lastly, celebrate your wins. This is so important because every small step that you take toward achieving your goals needs to be celebrated. Now, the most important thing that I want to emphasize today is if you have a setback, it's okay. Please don't beat yourself up. Talk to yourself like you're speaking to a child that is upset. If you are talking to a child that is upset, you're going to be gentle. You're going to be compassionate. So please be gentle and compassionate with yourself. So thank you so much for listening. To learn more about me, go to my website at www.sandyscarlatta.com. Today's guest is Corey Schaffer. Corey is a Rhode Island native who joined the Marines in 2011 and served in Afghanistan from 2012 to 2013. While serving, Corey suffered injuries and was forced to retire earlier than planned. Like many veterans, Corey struggled to adjust back to civilian life. His unit had an alarming amount of suicides, which made the battle to keep moving forward even harder. There were some turning points that happened back in 2016, and Corey ended up forming his company, the Till Valhalla Project. I will let him explain it more, but this is such a great episode and a conversation that desperately needs to be had. So I hope you enjoyed today's episode. Hey, Corey, how's it going today?
Hey, I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic, even better now that you and I are here talking. So I was just reading a little bit about your mission and everything that you're doing, but I want you to tell that story. But before you go into your big project and your big mission, sure. What brought you, I want to hear the backstory. What brought you to where you are today and how did you get to this mission?
Yeah. I'd be lying if I said it was, you know, an easy road or, you know, a short road, but, you know, really how the mission to make memorial plaques to the families of fallen heroes, like the way that that came about, really stemmed toward, you know, when I was getting out of the Marine Corps, I was being medically discharged from injuries sustained over in overseas and over in training. I had some back injuries. I had some hearing issues. I had a multitude of issues that caused me to terminate, you know, my career early. You know, I really wanted to be in there for, I really wanted to be in the Marine Corps infantry for a long time. And, it just seems like it really wasn't in the books for me. So, after, you know, we got back from Afghanistan, you know, and receiving medical help, they decided that, you know, I needed to be separated. So that was really a big, really big hit for me, you know, for someone who had a big goal and, you know, always, you know, most of his visions for, you know, the past, you know, three, four years were really oriented towards, you know, how am I going to build a career? How am I going to, you know, climb the ranks? How many deployments will I end up doing? You know, it really, all my focuses went from there to just, oh man, how am I going to make it in the real world, you know? And it was a really big shell shock and really big emotional demotion, you know, having to sign that paperwork and get out of the Marine Corps, especially based off of those terms. You know, you get a lot of things that roll through your head. You know, I wasn't good enough. You know, I wasn't built for this. And there's a lot of psychological, you know, trauma that happens when you go through something like that. So I ended up getting separated from the Marine Corps, in which I moved from California. I was stationed at 29 Palms, California, and then I ended up moving to Florida with, you know, my wife and I, and we moved in with my dad, and it basically, you know, I had to start over fresh. You know, I had to figure out, you know, what was my place, what was my skill set, because, you know, there's not much from the infantry that really carries over to civilian life. And, you know, I guess maybe the only thing would be like police officer or firefighter, but that really wasn't in my, you know, it wasn't in my scope. But the, you know, so the reality was, is getting out of the Marine Corps and realizing that despite all the things that we've achieved and all the great things we've done, you know, it really didn't have any value in the real workplace. So
That must have been really tough.
Yeah, it's one of the things I preach when I try to teach people, you know, or try to mentor people. I try to make them understand that, you know, the reason why a lot of veterans, or, you know, just whether they deployed or, you know, whether they're combat vets or anybody else, the reason why most veterans are taking their lives in today's day and age, it's not because they're so traumatized from the things that they've seen overseas. I mean, I honor, you know, dozens of heroes every month, and many of them to suicide, and a lot of them don't even have deployments under their belt. So, you know, it you have to go back and really deduce what the problem is. And what I came to was, you know, it's really just a lack of value, you know? Like if somebody is trained 4 years to really go over there and do something that was important to them, enough for them to say, hey, I'll lay down my life, and you know, they never get a chance to do it, or they never get to live up to those ambitions, then it's really detrimental to their soul. And I think that when they get out, they feel like the best of their life is behind them, and they don't feel that there's a need to move forward, and they only like to live in the past. And it's a vicious circle that I fell into right after I got out. You know, I felt like, you know, the only things I could do would go get a job at a gun store or teaching tactical training or, you know, anything that allowed me to stay in the realm and talk about deployments and stuff like that. So it was a big shell shock. And what ended up happening was, you know, I wasn't the only one struggling, and my unit would soon fall plague to a lot of our Marines committing suicide. So, and quite a few of my buddies being some of them. So, you know, I got a call from my team leader one day and found out that one of my best friends had ended up taking his life, and I didn't know how to cope with it. You know, I had never drank in the military. I'd never smoked in the military, but after really finding out and really dealing with this loss, I started drinking heavily and trying to cope with it. And just, I know it seems silly nowadays, but you know, I really tried to keep my head above water by drowning. And what I ended up doing was as a form of therapy to kind of rid some of the thoughts I was having, I started building plaques in my garage after I was done with work, which I used to work at Academy Sports and AutoZone. But after I would go from work, I would go to college. And then after college, I would stay home and start building plaques for the guys I lost, or multiples for, you know, the same Marine and stuff like that. And I would ask my unit to help me find the families without creating ties to me. I would ask them to help me deliver these plaques anonymously to the families of the guys we lost. And, you know, my unit really helped me out. You know, they would, hey, you know, I knew his mom or something like that. But great, can I ship you this plaque and can you deliver it? You know, and they started doing that. We started doing that. You know, it felt like it was a lot more frequent than it was. But I mean, the reality was, it was, you know, once a month. So once a month, I would be able to at least choose a hero and start building multiple plaques. So, and it started with the guys that I had lost. And it would soon, you know, once my neighbors would hear from it, they will say, hey, my buddy at work had lost his son overseas. And, you know, would you make one for him? And I was like, yeah, absolutely. It's like, okay, well, how much does it cost? And I'm like, well, I can't in good conscience take money for something I'm utilizing for therapy and what I feel that they owe, or, you know, that they're owed in the first place. You know, they deserve it. So wow. I don't have someone to pay for it. So I would start dipping into my savings to afford the materials, just to give it all away and just to keep that mission going. So I would have honored a couple dozen heroes. And then it got to the point where I was like, I am at the point where, you know, I don't make enough at work to sustain this. So I either have to shut this down and double down on my career in engineering, or I have to sacrifice my ambitions to be an engineer or at least postpone them rather. I'd have to postpone them to travel down this road. And I ended up quitting my job, dropping out of college, and just jumped full into the plaques and tried to figure out ways to keep that mission going. And, you know, I tried many methods, but what ended up sticking was making t-shirts, patriotic t-shirts, motivational t-shirts, t-shirts that hopefully keep other veterans and patriots from taking their own lives. Like, I started making t-shirts like that, and it really just grew from there.
So now you created the Till Valhalla Project.
Yep.
Now, is that a nonprofit?
It is not a nonprofit. It really is just a, I guess I probably shouldn't cuss, but it's really just a phenomenal clothing brand that just does a lot of philanthropic things for families of fallen heroes and for veterans. So, like, I pledge 20% of all my net proceeds towards reducing veteran suicide. So, as of last month, we've donated $1,023,000 towards Mission 22. So we can pay for therapy for veterans, you know, who are struggling.
That's so, like, incredible.
So that's a bare minimum for us. And then I, at the very least, you know, we deliver, you know, dozens of memorial plaques anonymously every month. So, I mean, as you know, at some point today, and possibly as we speak right now, there's somebody getting a knock at their door that, and a package that they have no idea who it's from or why it's there. And they're fallen heroes inside of it.
Whoa, that is so incredible. Incredible. Wow. So what does Till Valhalla stand for?
So I don't dig too much into this, but it really is, it's Norse mythology. And you know, there's so many ways to describe it, but it's stands for the Hall of the Slain. And we used it a lot in the military, despite whether most people knew what it was or wasn't, but it seemed like a proper thing, kind of like saying bless you to somebody. Okay. You know, whether you don't like you know, you don't usually check somebody's, you know, religious status before you say bless you. It's just common courtesy, and people usually take it how they feel. So Til Bahala, when we started losing, as we started losing Marines, and, you know, this goes for people in Marine or military members in combat or suicide, you would see a lot of people say Til Bahala, because you're basically saying, I'll see you in the Hall of the Slain, which is like a glorious afterlife for the Vikings. So we're basically, when you say it, you're basically saying like, hey, you know, you're worthy of, you know, this great afterlife, and I'll see you there when it's my time. So,
wow.
Yeah. And I said, a lot of times we don't read too far into that. Some people, you know, some people understand that it's just a figure of speech, and that we're not, you know, we're not necessarily promoting a religion. Some of us do believe in it. But it's one of those things where we always say it as like common courtesy, because you're saying that they're worthy of a status, regardless if they believe in it or not. And it's very well received in the military, and it extends across all branches, Marine Corps, Army, Navy, all them. Like, it's widely accepted. So if someone passes away, you'll see, if you go look in the comments or anywhere where there's a fallen hero being posted, you'll usually see someone say Til Bahala.
Wow. Yeah, I've heard the expression, but I really never knew what it meant.
Yeah. Yeah, you'll see it a lot. You'll see it a lot in a lot of movies nowadays. There seems to be like a lot of even things like the Avengers and stuff like that. Thor, you know, that's all from the same realm there. So, you know, they'll talk about Valhalla and that and whatnot. So it's really widely known, and actually it seems like a lot of that stuff has kind of helped us in the recent, because a lot of people are like, oh man, you know, they'll send me videos or they'll send me like pictures, and they'll think like people ripped us off or something like that. They'll be like, oh man, did you see that they mentioned you in a movie? I'm like, no. I'm like, no, that's a thing. We just, you know, yeah. So it's just funny that it's starting to really bring attention to what it means. It's starting to bring some attention to, you know, to Norse mythology and to really what it means. You learn about, you know, the god Odin, and, you know, people start digging into it because they go, well, what does that mean? And, you know, I think when people understand that, it's like when you say Til Bahala, you're telling somebody that, you know, they were the truest of the warriors, and that you will see them again, and that, you know, you believe that they're dining, you know, they're dining amongst the greatest warriors to walk the earth, you know? So.
Wow. That gives me chills.
Appreciate it. Yeah.
Wow. Well, first of all, thank you so much for your service. And I am so sorry that you had to end your service before you had intended. And that's always when life throws us curveballs, right? It's like, okay, now what?
Well, it's all how you adapt. And I think that at the end of the day, is this company was built off of, you know, the blood and sacrifice of the guys who I served with. And I just do my best every day to, you know, to just pay them tribute and to do them justice. So, you know, while my service might have ended there, I think it continues even larger over here. I'm making
100%.
I'm making 100% more today than I ever could in the military, I think.
Oh, well, yeah. So I want to go back to what you had said, because I made a note that you were saying that most of, or I don't know whether you said it was most, or if there's an actual statistic, or if they would even know the statistic. But I was it struck me because you said that many veterans commit suicide, not because of the trauma, but because that they're feeling a lack of value. And that really was shocking to me.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
because you just make the assumption, right? We make the assumption that, you know, they experience so much, you know, saw things that you can't unsee and experience so many things that just, you know, most people would never go through in their lives. And that is why they can't deal with it. So can you talk just a little bit more about that? Because I feel like, well, I don't want this to be a Debbie Downer episode by all means. I want people to understand and I want people to be educated, because this is such a serious topic.
Yeah, we should absolutely shine some light on that, because it's one of those things where you're right. It's so widely assumed that, you know, that some that if you hear of a veteran taking his life, that you assume that he, you know, he's been through multiple combat deployments and has seen his friends killed and, you know, watch kids die and all these crazy things. It's like, you know, now mind you, that is the case for many people.
Right.
However,
right.
For the majority, it's not. And, you know, when it would say, when I would see people that passed and, you know, maybe even if I knew them or, you know, maybe they had never even deployed, it'd be like, I would see them so quick to be labeled as, you know, PTSD or, you know, or combat PTSD or, that they're just struggling with all the things that they've seen, like we should help them get therapy, you know, send them to war, you know, it's, so I got to see so many things and so many people's perspectives. It's just like, oh man, they've just seen so many horrific things that, you know, they just can't go on living. And like, I don't know if it's good or bad, but I'll just say that, like, at the end of the day, like that does, that's not the case in the majority. You know, there's so many people, and, you know, so there's 22 veterans. There's a statistic, and it's anywhere from 18 to 25 veterans taking their lives every single day. So I mean, almost one every hour.
That's astounding.
It's disgusting.
It's disgusting. Yeah. So, okay. We are going to take a quick break from today's interview because I am so excited to tell you about a new program that I've just rolled out. It includes two group coaching calls each month to help you create the lasting happiness you so desire. It's only a $50 a month investment in yourself, and you are worth it. So visit www.sandyscarlotta.com/courses to sign up. I hope you enjoy the rest of today's interview. So what can be done? Like, how can, and I know the military is such a big entity that, but I feel like something needs to be done to prepare people when they're separating from the military to have, you know, to feel like there's value there. And I know there's many, many amazing organizations out there that are, you know, supporting veterans and helping them. Is there anything that you think could be done, you know, before they separate from the military?
Yeah, I mean, I really think that I think everybody needs a mentor of some way, shape, or form. And you know, a lot of times in the military, we look upwards towards our you know, our leadership, and we expect them to really guide them or guide us in the right direction. And what ends up happening is that, you know, there's already, you know, pre-separations training that you go through that basically says, hey, don't kill yourself. You know, it's, there's training that does that, but nobody ever takes it serious because, you know, it just, no one ever feels its impact until after they separate, you know.
Because before you leave the military, you're not in the mindset that I want to kill myself.
Right. And when you're, right. when you're even in the military, now there is still a significant number of active duty suicides that happen, but I will say that. Right. The amount of, you know, post-separation suicides is very, very large. And, you know, it comes down to, you know, nobody takes it serious when it's in because no one feels the effects. Everyone still has the camaraderie. They know that right after they watch that video, they're going to go, you know, do something with their fellow brothers or sisters. They're going to go, you know, they're going to go PT. They're going to go over to the range. Maybe they're about to go deploy. I mean, either way, their mind is so preoccupied with service that it's not until they get that paperwork and they're kicked out the doors and they're not allowed to wear that uniform anymore. I say kicked out the doors, but you know what I mean? Like, you know, they're separated and, you know, and then they walk out and they go, wait, you know, I don't have to be anywhere. There's no one here to guide me. There's no one to really look up to, you know, if you had a finish line before, it's now gone for the most part. Like, you have to go find it again. You know, so you're pretty lost. So people, you know, people don't understand. It's like you're in charge of millions of dollars. You know, you're in charge of people's lives. You're in charge of equipment. You're in charge of, you know, highly coordinated operations. You know, you have so much value. And, you know, at 18, 19 years old, and then you get out and it's like, you know, I don't even know if I can flip patties at Burger King, you know, and have an advantage. So it really makes people feel worthless when they leave those gates, especially in highly involved MOSs. So I think that what people need, or what these veterans need is somebody that was in their shoes to really uncover this statistic. Cause it's like, you know, I never knew that veterans took their lives, you know, so often and that it was a major statistic until, you know, maybe a year after I got out, you know, we had multiple guys take their lives and, you know, that's when I got exposed to the term 22 a day. And, you know, people talking about how many veterans take their lives. It was like, it was almost like it was so withheld. It was so cordoned off from the inside of the military that it was like, it wasn't even known. Like I would have never known. I don't think any of my guys knew that, you know, and probably none of my guys before they took their lives knew that there was a statistic so high that they would do it, you know? So I think it's just unbeknownst to us until we finally get out and then we go, hey, why are we feeling like this? Why do we feel worthless? You know, we're talented individuals. Why do we feel like, you know, like the best of our life is behind us? And then as we start looking around, we find out that there's a lot of other veterans that feel the same, but there really is no good strategy at the moment other than, like I said, getting people out there, educating them, raising awareness for it, because like I said, most people don't know. And you know, what's ironic is that, you know, it seems like the least amount of combat deployments that we go on, the higher it seems to spike. So it's like, it's complete opposite to what everybody thinks. I make 64 plaques. As of right now, I make 64 plaques a month anonymously delivered. And I think it's like 47 to 55% of them are suicide. People,
oh my gosh.
People from Vietnam, people from, you know, everywhere. I mean, you see guys in their 70s and 80s committing suicide. Mm-hmm. It's just insane to see such a plague really get brushed under the carpet.
Yeah. So what would you say to somebody who is just separating from the military? What would be your best advice to them in order to feel that they're valued?
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest thing for you to understand is that you are valuable and your goal should be to build something, whether that's your family or, you know, your own business or just anything, or even projects. Build something that's greater than your service. Like, you know, don't always feel like the best of your life is behind you. I mean, you can always build something that's better and have something to look forward to. It's not worth always looking behind you and trying to rely on your service to determine or to define who you are. I mean, it was a big part of your life and I understand that, but it's not all you are, and you can be something 10 times better than what you were in the service. You just have to go out there and go get it. So, you know, leaving the service is not the end. It's just the beginning.
Right. So what has creating this company and making all of these plaques, how has that changed who you are as a person?
It's changed probably everything about who I am. I think my core, you know, determination is still right where it needs to be. And I've always had that. And, you know, whether it was ignorance before and I just didn't know when to stop. But as of right now, you know, I've had to learn some insane skills of like learning how to operate with so many team members. I mean, we're sitting at, you know, anywhere from 70 to 80 employees here, you know, in this shop. And
wow, kudos to you. That's really impressive.
I appreciate it. But it comes with so many life lessons. And
of course,
you know, I have to be very flexible and understanding and compassionate with every single person who comes here, because at the end of the day, there is no upper higher echelon. There is no one who's going to bail us out. It really is just us. And, you know, me, I'm 20. Well, I just turned 29. So, you know, I'm 29 years old. I'm working with people older than me, younger than me, same age. And, you know, these people have to have enough humility to, you know, despite, you know, being in an industry for 10, 15, 20 years, they have to have enough humility to look up to somebody who's been, you know, who was 3 years ago or 4 years ago working at AutoZone out of his, and, you know, and making plaques out of his garage. They have to have a lot of humility and learning that and seeing, and figuring out those people who are going to have humility, those people who fit with those core values. It's just been really, really changing for me. And I will say that I have realized that I am a complete workaholic. and it's, you know, I don't see a problem with it, but I think that's how they usually go. But, you know, my wife and I actually haven't had a day off in 4 years, and that's not hyperbole either. That's not, me saying, oh yeah, we've always done something. Like, no, we have not actually physically taken a single day off. Like,
okay. Well, you and I are going to have a little coaching session when we stop recording here, and we'll talk about that.
Yeah. So it's just crazy though. You know, so we got to see everything that we're made of, because, you know, I had to learn leadership skills. I had to learn business skills. I had to learn I control all the marketing over here, and, you know, obviously that's doing really well, but, you know, I got to see my weak points. And I've gotten to see and develop all the skills that I have today, and that, you know, I just would have never thought I would have, especially in 4 years. So I'm proud. I'm proud of how I've developed, but more importantly, I'm proud of the team that has come to join my side, because really, like, without them, this whole place couldn't exist for sure.
Well, I am beyond impressed with what you have done. And thank you so much, not only for your service to this country, but for what you're doing now. And I can only imagine what that must be like for the families when they receive that package.
Absolutely. It's pretty phenomenal.
Yeah. So my brother died while serving in the U.S. Army. He was not in combat. He was on a lot of drugs and fell out of a window. And this was in 1978. It changed the course of my life. And it has made me who I am today and why I'm of service to others. So about 45 to 60 days after he passed, and we had the funeral and everything, his whole unit pitched in, and there's this beautiful sterling silver. It was like a memorial piece to him. It's kind of like a big, I don't even know what you would call it, but it has, you know, in memory of, and it has his name and all of that. And my mother passed it down to me for safekeeping, and I have it displayed, and I look at that every day. And I tell you what, that means so much to me that it came from his, you know, the men and women that he served with. So yeah. I'm just here to say, you know, I can only imagine what those families, like, that will be a precious keepsake that they will pass on for generations, because it means so much.
That's the goal. So like, the goal is to get our goal here is to make sure every fallen hero outlives us. So yeah. we're trying to make sure that we put the things in place. You know, we make our memorial plaques, we build them very, very well and sturdy, and, you know, so that way they do outlive us. And then we get their heroes' faces and stories up on the internet, where it will be preserved, because, you know, the internet's going to be around longer than all of us. So you know, we make sure that they're on there, and that there's ads that are constantly running towards them, so that way, you know, even if I wasn't here tomorrow, they would still be going out, and everybody would still be finding that hero on the internet, you know, and we're not even involved, you know. So the whole goal is just to make sure that every family understands that their hero is never forgotten. And we really come in because we want to rekindle the flame, because, like you said, your hero passed away in the 70s, and, you know, I'm, you know, not adding salt to the wound or anything like that, but I'm sure that, you know, nobody's come and dropped anything off of your doorstep, you know, to remind you how much our nation is grateful for his service, you know. And it's
right.
I think that's the problem. It's, you know, it's, yes, when someone passes, we spend, you know, upwards of a year, you know, commemorating them to the fullest. But then after that, it's almost, you know, have a beer on their, you know, passing day or something like that. It's just, for me, it just doesn't feel like enough. So I want to keep, you know, for those heroes that passed away in the 70s, 80s, 90s, early 2000s, I want to go back and I just want to remind the families that, you know, we haven't forgotten. So a lot of times when a hero just falls, we don't honor them right away because we want them to have that effect. Like every family starts to believe that their hero, you know, is starting to fade, and every family starts to believe that that they're the only ones thinking of their hero. We just kind of step in and we want to let the, you know, remind them that there's still a grateful nation that remembers.
Corey, thank you so much for what you're doing. Is there anything else that you'd like to share with the audience today?
I mean, maybe just our website, tilvalhallaproject.com, and our Facebook, or we have Facebook, Twitter, and TikTok, and Instagram. And you can find us all there if you want to see all of our plaque deliveries. We have videos of plaque deliveries. We have people called Legacy Guardians, which are just our VIP customers. They're the ones when we have a plaque, that needs to be delivered, we reach out to our VIP customers and say, hey, if there's anybody in this area, will you help us deliver that? So you can go on there and you can see all their deliveries and stuff like that. So whether you buy anything or not, just go ahead and go check out and see what we do. Cause I think, you know, no matter what, it's really good. And it's heartwarming to see all the people who are willing to step out in their daily lives to go out of their way to honor a fallen hero. I think it rekindles a lot of faith in humanity, because there's not a lot of people who say no.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, Corey, thank you so much, and best continued success. And thank you again for everything that you're doing to serve these fallen heroes. It's really incredible.
Thank you. I appreciate it so much.
So that was such an amazing conversation with Corey, and I know that it's a topic that is hard to listen to when we're talking about suicides, but it's something that we need to all be aware of, because it is such an epidemic in this country. So please support Corey's project, the Till Valhalla Project. You can learn more about that at tillvalhallaproject.com. Follow him on social media. I will make sure all of this is in the show notes. And take a look at some of those t-shirts. They're really amazing. And it's such a great message. And they are helping save lives, which is even more important. So thank you so much for joining me today. To learn more about me, you can visit my website at sandyscarlotta.com. And as always, I hope that you and your family are safe and healthy, and that your lives are filled with peace, joy, and happiness. Take care, everyone.